Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 9, All by Myself. You don't have to be lonely. Loneliness is a reality. It's a common human experience. Any of us can get lonely at different seasons in our life for various reasons. The Hebrew word translated lonely in the Old Testament means one that is alone, one who is solitary, forsaken, or wretched. There's a sense of sadness mentally, emotionally, and spiritually when we believe we're all alone in our own little world. We conclude we are not cared about or understood or valued by family, friends, church people, or fellow job workers. I'm not sure about the validity of all research, but this one, in the very least, is interesting. Recent research found loneliness was associated with a risk of early death that is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and that it was more lethal than obesity. I don't know who they are experimenting on to come up with this conclusion, but anyway, in contrast, people who reported having greater social connections were associated with a 50% reduced risk of early death. Of course, God knows the time we will die and for what reasons, but at the very least, the research showed God is right when he states being connected with people is very important. What are some of the specific definitions of loneliness? It can be described as having a sense of being alone, all by yourself, on your own. It can include feelings of being disliked, discarded, deserted. It can have the perspective of not being included, not being valued, less than and therefore not a part of something or someone. It can be an overwhelming sense of thrown to the side, ignored, misunderstood. It's an array of thoughts, feelings, conclusions, and perspectives that puts us on the outside and therefore alone, all by myself. There are many other personal descriptions of having a sense of loneliness. Where does loneliness come from? One way is from feelings of rejection, abandonment, betrayal, neglect from family, friends, coworkers, groups of people, etc. This is especially painful because these are the ones we normally trust and have worked at having a relationship with, or at the very least would like to, but feel shunned by them. Psalm 38, verse 11, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Job 19, verse 14, my relatives have failed, and my intimate friends have forgotten me. Psalm 142, verse 4, look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. A second way we can have feelings of loneliness is when we feel separated from God. Job 23, verses 8 through 9, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. Psalm 13, verse 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Faith in God does not always bring easy answers. In this verse, David expressed his confusion and frustration to God. Faced with danger, it seemed to David that the Lord had forgotten him. And so David's question of how long is more than just a question of time, it's also a plea for an explanation for what is going on. There's also a sense of why carried within his questions to God. Believers may identify with David's feeling of abandonment from God. Trouble may tempt a believer to think God has abandoned them and therefore he no longer cares. And the result is a sense of loneliness or aloneness. Psalm 13, verses 5 through 6. But I have trusted in your faithfulness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has looked after me. So David's response to his sense of loneliness or all aloneness was by trusting in God, that he was right there beside him, even when he didn't feel it, understand it, or see it. We can follow David's example of being that person that was after God's own heart, no matter the happenings in our life. And what was God's heart? To just trust in him, even when we feel all alone. A third reason we can have a sense of loneliness is because of issues with other people. God created us to have companions or fellowship with others because we can be valued and also give others a sense of value simply because we are all valuable in God's sight. We need each other. We won't learn lessons that mature and equip us for the kingdom of God if we don't have people in our life. But when people hurt or harm us, then we can retreat from any or all relationships, and this can bring on loneliness. Let's look at the balance of this. Sometimes we need to end certain relationships. Not all friendships stay helpful, godly, or good, perhaps for a season, but then that season changes. At other times, we need to place safe fences around ourselves or family members because of ongoing harmful family members. And then we can search for others we can connect with in a healthier way. The point is, no matter the issues we have in various relationships or environments, we need discernment before we become greatly disillusioned, depressed, or lonely. We don't give up on connecting with people just because some people have given us bad experiences. Welcome to the real world. Most people do get hurt from family, friends, acquaintances, churches, coworkers, neighbors, and etc. No one is immune from being hurt by people. But we also hurt others. The point being, we should embrace people so we can let go of loneliness. But we got to be careful. They are the right people for us at the right season in our life. We need to move on, connect with other people, so we prevent loneliness. And also, there might be the opportunity to stay connected with those that have harmed or hurt us, but now new protocols can be talked about for resolution. So all kinds of negative emotions aren't created, including ongoing loneliness. Look at this example with David. David in the Old Testament was well acquainted with loneliness as recorded in the Psalms. Psalm 25, verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. In this verse, we see David needed the Lord's friendship because he was feeling distressed and lonely at this time in his life. His sons had turned against him, as found in 2 Samuel 15, verses 13 through 15. His friend and counselor had also turned against him, as stated in 2 Samuel 15, verse 31. So, what got David through this time of loneliness? He trusted that the Lord would not abandon him, even though others had. He didn't rely on his own feelings of loneliness, but rather he knew faith was not a feeling. It was a choice he could make to help him in some of his most alone times of his life. no matter why we personally feel lonely, we too can always put our confidence in God, knowing He is also present with us always, as He was with David. Regardless of our bouts of loneliness, a most important principle to keep in mind is that God will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He never gives up on us. He always sees our hurts and what we are going through. He is always with us, whether we can feel it or not, whether we can see Him at work in our life or not, whether we understand or are confused to what is happening or transpiring in our lives. He is with us and will always be our closest friend, even in our loneliest moments. Just remember, God never leaves us, and we must hold on to that. Some other reasons why people might go through seasons of loneliness are the death of a loved one, divorce, deep family issues, the loss of friendships, church and ministry betrayals, problems with people in job situations, not being included in group gatherings, not being embraced by others because of a lack of education, no important titles in job or ministry descriptions, comparing our looks, finances, or popularity, whatever that is. Just for whatever reasons, those can run deep and cause a person to feel alone or lonely. Let's do PAT, practical application tools, 4 tools to let go of loneliness. First tool, turn to God. Second tool, be a part of the body of Christ. Third tool, find friends. Fourth tool, get involved. Let's get into more details about these tools. First tool, turn to God. Turn away from loneliness by turning toward God. Sometimes loneliness can be a sign we are not growing our relationship with the Lord. We get too busy to take the time to connect with Him, and then we become lonely because God created us to have a close, intimate walk with Him above anyone else or anything else. We can even have lots of friends, do many social things, participate in ministry, be close to family, and yet still feel a tinge of loneliness, or a lot of it. Whatever reason for loneliness, the Christian cure is always the same: the comforting fellowship with Christ, that loving relationship with our Savior, has encouraged countless thousands who suffered in prisons and even went to their deaths for His sake. They clung to Him even when He seemed afar off, because they believed He was always with them every moment of every day to the very end of their lives. They were not even alone in death. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The word translated always in this verse comes from a special Greek phrase only used here in the New Testament. It literally means the whole of every day. This is then extended to all eternity with the expression, even to the end of the age. Jesus' promise is to be with His followers every minute of every day until the very end of the present age, and then into the eternal life beyond. Second tool, be part of the body of Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Personal contact with other Christians is not merely suggested by the Bible. It is commanded because it was designed by God for all of our benefits. Relationships with other believers are one way to be encouraged to live out the faith we proclaim. This verse specifically tells us not to fail at assembling with other Christians. The Greek term used here is referring to an abandonment or forsaking. The English Standard Version Bible translates this term as neglect, since it implies a failure to do something one ought to be doing. In clear terms, Christians have an obligation to fellowship with other Christians. This is not only necessary for discipleship and maturity, but also so that we can meet each other's needs and encourage and inspire other Christians in their faith. I know people make all kinds of rational reasons for not doing this. For example, I am in the body of Christ by watching a church service on TV. But then you are not a functioning part by using your gifts for the benefits of others, nor are you letting others benefit you with yours. So we don't want to twist scripture to fit into our own rational, intellectual conclusions that really don't adhere to what God is saying. It doesn't say we have to go to a huge church. Some people have small home churches that are incredibly beneficial to the growth of the believers and also the community around them. Let's look at a larger portion of this passage of Scripture to see what does God actually say about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, "Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "Because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body," it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Or again, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. This means each and every Christian is valuable in the body of Christ. Each has the ability to be of service to others. God says we have need of that. We can't do it all on our own. There is no favoritism. In God's kingdom, an education, special titles, expertise, being well known, or whatever it might be, doesn't make anyone more valuable or less valued in the kingdom of God. Everyone has an important place in the body of Christ, as it said in all those verses I just read. We have a great need for each other because God said so. He made us each different with various gifts and talents to help each other with. All are important because God gave each gift and talent to each individual. They are all equally needed. Third tool, find friends. Jesus had his disciples do life with him, just as we need friends to do life with us. As we walk the Christian journey with each other, we need companions to encourage us through trials, motivate us to keep learning, listen to us when we are sad or mad, give us good counsel, and have some relaxing fun times with. This is what can prevent ongoing feelings of loneliness. By the way, social media can be very helpful if the right resources are used to grow us into the individuals we should be. If those platforms don't waste our valuable time, if those arenas don't keep us from the real people we need to grow from and with, then they actually can be very helpful with a balance. But social media does not take the place of friends that are right beside us, that we are growing a personal relationship with. Unfortunately, lots of time and effort is wasted on what is easily accessible and doesn't take the time or the effort needed to make and continually nurture friendships that are good and godly, that are right in front of us. This can be especially done in the body of Christ, where there are a variety of people and opportunities that God wants to use to help us grow and others likewise grow us. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This verse is like a warning that states it is extremely important to choose one's friends wisely. The people we choose to associate with will influence our beliefs, behavior, and decisions. Many sad stories involve those who were caught in or caught up in the bad consequences from hanging out with bad friends. In Psalm 119, verse 63, David testifies that he made a good choice. He writes, I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. In this verse, David in the Old Testament testifies that he made a good choice. He knew that peer pressure is strong and its influence can either be good or bad. Godly friends exert a positive pressure on one another to be godly. But ungodly friends exert a negative pressure on one to do wrong. Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. A common method to sharpen iron is to use a similar piece of metal. When the two scrape against each other, both pieces are shaped and rough spots are removed. In the same way, two friends can interact and help refine each other through continued times together to remove the rough edges and be shaped more into the character of Christ. It's fun and invigorating as each friend is a source of inspiration for running the race set before us, fighting the good fight of faith, not becoming weary in well-doing, praying and praising together and sharing the tears and the laughs as the days and years go by. This is the opposite of being lonely and trying to live life by oneself. Some things to keep in mind. Sometimes certain friends are for a time and a season, and are in our life for both of us or one of us to learn certain things, and then they are gone. And that's okay. Sometimes friends will hurt us and betray us. That has to be okay because there are deep lessons to be learned from this. But it doesn't mean we assume every person is going to do that to us, and therefore we won't make friendships. having more people in our lives and doing more things with them doesn't always fix the problem of loneliness. Investing in the right types of friendships is what eliminates loneliness. Being busy with a lot of people doing a lot of useless things or even good things eventually can cause us to feel lonely because our friendships have no lasting, godly, eternal purpose. The main point is that no friend can ever take the place of our relationship with the Lord. Friendships are in addition to this. Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Fourth tool, get involved. We were created for good works, which includes being with people. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. This verse offers insight into what God desires after salvation. God calls us his workmanship or his artwork. We are that someone who has been created with skill and a purpose by God for his purposes. Specifically, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works do not give us salvation, but they are absolutely meant to be part of the result of salvation. When we have a purpose of doing good works for the sake of all eternity to glorify God, then we are not self-focused, but rather others-focused and God-focused. Again, we are not saved by doing good works or being a good person, but rather He saved us. Jesus died on a cruel cross for us so that we can do the good works we were created to do. That goes along with salvation, but that is now not how we obtain salvation. Good works help us to not be lonely because we were designed to minister to others. There are so many things to become involved in to help us walk away from a sense of loneliness. Be involved in a Bible study, teach or go to one. Disciple or mentor someone. People need you to equip them, or perhaps you need to be mentored. Do a community service of good works. Focus on the needs of others, or perhaps you need to let others know you need help with something. What are your gifts, talents, or interests? Figure out a way to become better at them or use them. There are so many ways to get involved with people. Even if it is not the perfect thing for you to do, you will still learn a lot from the experience. We learn how to get along with others, how to forgive, how to listen, and also share. God will encourage us as He grows us in the abilities and interests He has especially given to each one of us, but we just need to step out in faith. The choices are endless. If we look at the disciples of Jesus, they were continually caring about others in so many different ways. What a great example for us to follow. To balance this, at various seasons in life, we are not able to go out and do things. Our doing is within our family, with our own little children or spouse, older parents, or other personal situations where we are more on the home front. We just discern at various seasons in our life how we can prevent loneliness. No matter what the season, we still need people we can connect with to encourage us along the way. It's not always about going, 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 and doing, doing, doing. Sometimes it's about using our time to pray for others on a continual basis. That helps a lot with loneliness too. Now, here's just a note. I would highly recommend this book. It gives all kinds of examples of those who concentrated on others so loneliness was not a part of their lives. The title is Do Justice by Christy Burton Brown. This is not about the social justice movement we are experiencing in our world right now. So don't let the title of this book throw you off. Rather, this book is doing just, noble, good things because we love the Lord and others. It's simply a source of encouragement and ideas. I think you can get the book on Amazon or various bookstores. Let's recap the four tools to let go of loneliness. First tool, turn to God. Read His Word continually. Let Christ be your constant companion by reading about Him in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Holy Spirit is always with you to help you. Ask Him to guide you through your lonely times. Second tool, be a part of the body of Christ. People need you and you need them. Third tool, find friends and continually nurture those friendships. Godly friends that walk the Christian journey with us help us to walk away from loneliness. Fourth tool, get involved. Focusing on others is one of the best ways to overcome loneliness. Who needs help? Who needs to be loved? Who needs to be encouraged? How about the poor, the widows, the orphans, the unsaved, the hurting, the dying, the hungry, those in prison, those who need a meal during their sickness or their home clean because they had surgery, or young mothers needing help with babysitting? How about standing up against evil in the political world? Or writing encouraging notes to policemen, firemen, first responders. The list goes on and on. Way too much to mention. The point is, just do something to overcome your loneliness. Don't stay stuck. Now, if you are the one that needs extra love, help, or encouragement, let someone know. And keep seeking for this until you can walk away from your own loneliness. People can't read your mind. Sometimes you need to let others know. You need to be taken care of too. Thanks so much for tuning in. You are all in my prayers. I hope this encourages you as you too encourage those you know by sharing this podcast. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.